Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shoup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. This episode is called...
It's the creature feature.
The creature feature. It's creating a monster.
Mm-hmm. Or my middle name is Diva.
Or yes. Yes.
D is for Diva.
Frustration, thy name is Diva. Yeah. For directors, it sure is.
Oh, yeah. And for fellow cast members, eventually.
Right. We have a phenomenon that happens in community theater, and it's kind of interesting. It's where I think a new actor or someone who hasn't done a lot of theater gets involved, turns out to be reasonably good out of natural talent or whatever, and after they've done three shows, becomes a diva.
Yeah.
And they start to give directions to other actors backstage, or they start to question the director a great deal and too much, in other words. I mean, there's nothing wrong with questioning a director, don't get me wrong, but you know, what do you do about what causes this? Is there a sort of a genetic switch that flips in these people?
I don't know.
Dave didn't just hear me gasp, did he?
What? Genetic
about questioning the director? I went.
Why? You can't question the director?
Oh, no. That's another
podcast. No, I think it depends on the personality. I really do. To me, the worst thing about that is that someone who has basic talent and never used it, and all of a sudden they're thrust into this because somebody says, wow, you can really sing, and we're doing a musical, and boy, do we need a good singer. And on they come, and all of a sudden, they are getting tons of praise from all sides about how wonderful they are.
Yes, and the director still has criticisms or
corrections. Well, not many, because, you know, if they're good, they're good. And I'll give them that. Even divas are good sometimes.
Well,
but
sure.
But after that, then it gets to the point where they will only do leads. They never
there
heard the phrase, there are no small parts, only small actors.
Or right.
No small actors, only small parts. They won't do anything that is not a lead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it gets a little frustrating sometimes. And you feel like you've... And as you say, then they start giving notes to their fellow cast members or having fits in the middle of rehearsal and walking out when things aren't going the way they want. It's very, very frustrating, and it's very upsetting.
Well, and I think that your point about that they won't take anything but leads.
Yeah.
You know, obviously they don't have to take anything at all.
That's right.
But sort of the point of community theater sometimes is, hey, the director in the community theater that I'm involved in needs someone to play this part. It's not a huge part. Fine, I'll help them out, and I'll try to do the best job I can. And that's community theater. Mm-hmm. You know, because obviously you're not getting paid. But if you, yeah, but yes, the diva, you've run into the situations where the diva has taken over and they.
And diva is not necessarily, I mean, it's a lot of times reserved for a woman, but I mean, diva can be a guy as well.
Yeah. Easily.
Well, prima donna is the other term perhaps to use. Although,
yeah, and it didn't start out to be, a bad thing because a prima donna was a star, particularly in the opera.
Right.
But it's gotten a very bad connotation because of people that have behaved just really badly over the years.
Well, what if you're a director? I guess there's actually two people that have to deal with divas: the director and then fellow cast members. How should fellow cast members deal with someone that they might recognize as a diva without hurting, you know, without risking hurting the
well,
the team?
For a cast member, it's always the chain of authority. I mean,
right?
Now I have to admit that I've been in a show one time where the way that a cast member dealt with a diva was through a fist fight.
Oh my Lord! Oh.
That's been a long time. But
tell me after.
But normally, it's almost every director sets up a chain of command at the beginning of their rehearsal period. If you have a problem with another actor, if you have a problem with a costume, if you have a problem with a wig, there's a certain chain of command that you go through. So if I have a problem with the diva as a performer, I'm going to go to my assistant director and I'm going to say, look, we're having issues here. Because you don't bother the director first. It's the assistant director who then makes the determination whether they should go to the director and bring this to the director's attention. So so that's, at least in my, in, when I'm directing, that's the way it is. So I go to the assistant director. I say, you know, I've got a problem here. This person keeps giving me notes and I can't take it anymore. I'm getting, and even if they're good notes, and sometimes they are, you know, I'm not going to say that that diva doesn't have a good idea in their head. But it's like, I don't want to be getting notes from an actor, and that person doesn't have the right to be giving me notes because they're not my director. So I go to the assistant director. So there's a chain of command. And then if that doesn't work, then you go to the director, you know.
And then if that doesn't work, you punch their lights out?
That's what happened in that show.
I think
good idea.
There's the chain of command, folks. That's how you handle it. But and I have been in situations as an actor where I've had other actors give me either directions or suggestions or outright suggestions to, well, we know what we're doing. We'll just do what we want. And it had to do with, mm-hmm. well, it was an inexperienced director who had been placed in the position to get experience. I don't know. To some degree, the actors just have to state, you know what? I'll check with the director. I'm mm-hmm. going to find out if we're going to do that. I mean, in this particular case, I said, we'll do what he says, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not going to ruin. I didn't want it because the guy was a friend of mine. I didn't want to ruin his first directing experience by just being difficult. I thought that wasn't fair and it wasn't right anyway. But, you know, you do sometimes it takes actors standing up to other actors in a firm yet not confrontational way and saying, no, I'll do what the director says. Does that make sense?
I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
a ringing endorsement.
Well, thanks for the ringing endorsement. That's right.
I think that they're okay. If you start with the actor, I mean, being upfront with an actor, but in a positive way. Look, the director is going to tell me what I'm supposed to do. I appreciate your thoughts, but I want to do what the director asks me to do.
Right.
If it continues, then you go to your assistant director. Then if it continues, you go to the director.
Right.
Or
the other thing is, that's not a bad idea. Let's go see together if the director wants us to do that.
Well, theoretically, that's so lovely. And how often does it really happen?
Yeah. It happens in my shows fairly often. But it's because I got a pretty good relationship with my actors usually. Most of the time I have people I've worked with before, although I try to bring in new people, but that's, yeah.
But you're also up front, as am I. I say to my actors, if you have an idea, especially in the first part of rehearsals, and we've talked about this in the past, if you have an idea, go for it. Or come to me if it's like something that's physical that's going to affect other people on stage. I need to know about mm-hmm. it because I want to make sure everybody's on the same page before somebody who didn't know they were going to be slapped gets slapped.
Right. That's a good idea to let them know.
So, you know, but maybe that slap is perfect and maybe, you know, but a diva doesn't take that time to ask.
No.
It's like, oh, I know what I'm doing.
I know, but
this is going to be beautiful and the director will love it. And you hear this whack on stage
and then dead silence while the other actor recovers his
composure. Last time I got slapped during a rehearsal and wasn't expecting it, I know I wasn't happy.
Did you slap back?
No.
Oh? Missed your chance, John.
I was in character.
Oh.
Ah.
Oh, God. Okay.
But I do believe I went to the director and told the director I didn't appreciate being slapped.
Yeah.
In the words of John Lovitz,
acting. So, but well, do you think we foster? So I think sometimes we foster divas, though. I mean, as directors.
Well, and I know we do, and I don't think it's intentional.
How
a lot
do
of
we
times.
Do that?
I don't think a lot of time it's intentional. I have had times when you go to cast a show and you're missing mm-hmm. one or two people. And maybe they're in major parts, so you desperately reach out and ask someone that you know that might be able to do it. And they say, well, okay, I will. And then they're in a lead part. And then they think they're there because they're really good, not because, you know, they were like a desperation choice. And then you're stuck with them. And after that, they only want to do big parts. They drop out of small parts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, to me, that's worse than, you know, fighting with the cast or something. They just don't show up, and then they think they're, you know, they're, well, I don't know. They think it's their right to do major roles, and they're not, some of them are not that great.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know how to, I don't know how to deal with that when you always have the problem of you need a cast of 12 people and you only get 10.
Right.
You're desperate for two more people.
You got to call
and
somebody.
At that point, yeah, you really don't give a darn whether they're, you know, 100% professional or really good or actually will just be a body who can move and say a few lines and that'll be it.
Right. Of course, I guess the key is unless somebody just doesn't, the key is to try to fill those big parts, the major roles, with the people that you've seen, assuming that they're right for the parts, and not and try to call
what if
people
they
for
aren't?
Small. Well, and you're right.
What if you don't have enough to fill? You've used up everybody that came.
Been there.
Yeah, been there, done that. Me too. Very frustrating.
It's very frustrating.
Because you have to beg someone that you know is not really top drawer. I hate that word line, but still, you have to beg them to be in your show. Then, not only do you owe them something, like when they're late to rehearsal, they'll remind you, well, I didn't really want to do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I don't.
Stuck.
Yeah. I don't,
oh, I've had that.
I've not gotten too much of that when I've asked someone.
I don't think every time that we ask somebody to do a show that they're necessarily the worst. That I don't want people to think that sometimes. I'm being political here, but I'm not necessarily. There are times when I ask somebody to do a show because I need somebody in a role. And I know that they're not necessarily the best performer.
Right.
There are also times when I ask very good performers also to take a role in a show because I need that help. So, I mean,
I'll grant that.
So I want to make sure that that's understood.
I'm not saying that they're awful. I'm just saying that they would not be, if they had come out to audition, they would not be the one that you have chosen
correct.
To fill a major role.
Right.
But since nobody else came out and they're willing to do it, now they are, you know, so it's a little difficult.
And
God bless them for doing it. I'm very happy when people will do that. But by the same token, then they should not, if they're asked in the next production or something to take a smaller role, they should not really feel that they're above it now because they've been doing leads.
So you avoid some of that by essentially checking references in a way too. I mean, if it's someone that you don't, if you're asking someone who you know is good, it still maybe isn't such a bad idea or that maybe second, I don't know. Just make sure you understand how they work, and you may talk to other directors who have worked with that same person. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's to see how it worked out, and sometimes you can avoid a little bit of that, but you know, there's no sure thing there.
Just the word avoid kind of how do.
Yeah.
Brought into my head then, how can you help a diva avoid being a diva in the future?
Right.
And one of the things I think is, I mean, it is difficult, and some people will never get it out of their system after it's in their system. But I think sometimes honest conversation, I'll tell you folks, for me, it's very difficult for me to have a sit down and talk with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And share impressions. You know, this is the impression that you give me now. This is what's happening here. It's difficult, but sometimes, and you know, I think maybe it's difficult for me to do, but I'll admit it. I even had a director sit me down one time very early on when I was working.
When you were a diva, I think it was.
Back when I was a diva, and I may still be, you never know.
Oh, let me tell you.
Yeah, okay. Let's not talk about me, it's not about me. But no, this particular example is though. But I mean, I had a director that I respected, but that I was not following their wishes because I thought I knew better.
Yeah.
And that director sat me down and had an honest conversation with me. And then it ended with, if you ever do it again, I'm kicking you out of the show. But you know, it was an honest conversation, and it got me to start thinking a little bit about, you know, what is my position here? What, you know, and I think as an actor, you know, you walk that fine line as an actor, how much control over the character do I have as opposed to the director? But if it's if you're actually working together to create an art form, which is what this is, then hopefully the director is just as willing to listen to your ideas as you are to listen to theirs. And if it still doesn't come to an agreement, then at least you've had an open conversation about it.
Right.
And then you do what the director says. And that's a whole nother episode.
That's true.
Doing what the director says.
Well, I guess, you know, one of the things that you do have to recognize is that theater is an art form that is about bringing forth emotions. And I think that sometimes, you know, and people who are actors and maybe even people who are good actors tend to, you know, bring those forward a little bit more often than they should. So they, and their egos kind of get built up in certain ways. And so in any situation, you're always dealing with people's emotions and egos, even if they're, whether they're divas or whether they're people who don't have that much confidence in, but they're trying to put something on stage. So I think, I don't know, I'm not sure where I'm going with this, but it seems like you have to recognize that there's a lot of their own, you know, themselves in whatever it is they're doing on stage, and directors have to be pretty careful not to tread on that. I mean, if you take a diva and squash them flat, then what have you got?
A flat diva. By the same token, I've had people in the cast come up to me and say, "You're not giving me any notes. Would you please tell me what I'm doing wrong?" And I go, "Huh, if I'm not giving you any notes, that means I think what you're doing is right.
Yeah.
Just keep doing it."
I just say, "I haven't gotten to you yet."
Oh.
No, I don't.
David.
Because I say, no, I usually say, "Listen, if I haven't seen it," that's just, I have the same reaction.
Yeah.
But every little ego that's up there on that stage is very fragile.
Right.
So you have to, I just watched somebody direct a play, and this person was, amazed me, and I'm going to have to try it because obviously I'm not doing it the right way. This person gave very, I don't mean negative notes, but whatever they wanted to say, they first couched it in very positive terms before, in essence, saying, "Now you're doing it wrong. Do it this way," you know, but it didn't come out like that. And the actor was very happy to try it another way.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, I would say, "Come on, you know, that's not right. We do something else." And that's not very productive, I've found. So.
Does that create divas?
What?
If your criticism is always negative, do you end up with people who suddenly know better?
Oh, yeah, their backs get up against the wall.
Sure.
And it's not only true of actors, but it's true of the production staff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have recalled several who do not feel they were being given their right amount of recognition, and so they flare up.
Well, and you have stage managers and, you know, even stage crew, but maybe more likely stage managers who become perhaps too dictatorial, or, you know, and alienate a cast, or even make a problem for the director because they've got the cast so on edge, and the director may not even be aware where's this coming from. Suddenly, everybody's a diva up there because they're all ticked off.
Oh, let's face it. Directors have to be like semi-psychiatrists, psychologists, mothers, fathers, everything, and just walk a line.
That's professors, right. I tell you.
Yeah. Well, my approach a lot of times is that I've stopped putting up with the backstage intrigue and this backstage emotionalism. I try to focus on the show itself, and even to the point where if somebody's got a problem or something, I sometimes say, "Okay, you know, let's take that outside." I do some of that. Now, if it's serious, then it's different. But I don't try to be a big psychologist all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay,
can't.
I don't. That's fine with me. I won't ever ask you for advice, David.
Well, it's not. I guess it depends on the thing. I
don't mean to have somebody come in and treat you like a father confessor, but you have to be a little bit aware of the human psyche with how you handle your actors.
Right. But I also take a certain attitude of, can we drop that? Let's move on and have some fun now. So I guess maybe that's more of what I'm talking about. And I try to keep it light from that standpoint so that, you know, we're working hard, we're serious about the art, but let's not get serious about, you know, who's winning and who's losing. Let's, you know, try to take it back to focus on the play and quit focus on each other's egos.
And again, it seems like we come back to this all the time, but it's how as a director you set everything at your first rehearsal.
Right.
And if you say, you know, this is what we're going to do, and I don't tolerate this, and this, then I think people understand what the process is going to be.
Right.
And it makes it, I think it makes a better process for everybody. And I think it helps keep the diva-isms.
Yeah.
Right.
Lower level.
Well, and I'm pretty consistent about doing that. I mean, saying, you know, what I put up with and what I don't.
Yeah.
And I have actually been sort of surprised that they remember that for the whole rehearsal period. I mean, for the most part. I mean, it's not a perfect system.
No, but every once in a while, then you can, if it gets out of hand, you can say, look, this is what I said at the first rehearsal.
Right, that's
and this
true.
This is what I'm expecting out of
you. Yeah, but
so
I had one.
It needs to stop.
I had one actor who I expected to be a diva and had heard was a diva under other circumstances. At some point in the rehearsal process, said, well, you were pretty clear about what you expected right up front, which I thought, he actually remembered that, you know, it was sort of surprising to me. So anyway, so set the expectations.
Set expectations.
And
yes.
You will have fewer divas.
And right. Honesty when it happens,
yeah,
I think it's important that, you know, you set the person,
and
you pull them aside, set them down and say,
it takes a lot of guts to do that.
It does.
That's right.
It does.
Or a certain amount of confidence. Or sometimes, you know, if you have made friends with your cast and have created a pretty good organization, temporary though it is, in a cast and crew, you can be more honest without hurting feelings.
Sure.
You know what I mean? You can be pretty straight about certain things without having people be upset about it. I've got people that I have to kind of correct all the time, and they love it. I mean, they love working together in the group, and so it doesn't bother them. So mm-hmm. I think it's good too. Okay, that's all the time we have for Theater Geeks today. Did you have any more commentary? You're looking at each other surprised and shocked.
No, It happened so fast.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I don't want to cut up any other
concluding
remarks, but this is it for Theater Geeks. Make sure that you stop by theatergeeks.com and check out all the good stuff there, including the Theater Geeks store at www.theatergeeks.com/store. You can download and listen to the Theater Geeks podcast via iTunes, via the Zune Marketplace at the Blueberry Network. That's BLUBRRY, Blueberry without the E's.com. And you can listen to that and many other wonderful podcasts at the Blueberry Network. And also, that's sort of all the things I have to sell
Twitter.
Here. Twitter, you can check us out on Twitter. And we actually have a Facebook page for Theater Geeks as well. So we are on Facebook
we're
as well.
All over the place.
I think I need a new picture.
Or all over the a new picture. Well, maybe. You know what? Come back for the next episode of Theater Geeks and maybe John will have a new picture.
Oh,
you never know. Anyway, that's all for this time. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Twitter.
He's Twitter.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.